page 1 of Stephen Toulmain's Reason and Ethics says, quote, "Ethics is everybody's concern. Everyone is faced with moral problems, problems about which, after more or less reflection, a decision must be reached." You hear it? Decision about moral problems is what ethics is about. Or R.M. Hare's Reason and Freedom. "I ask the reader to start by supposing that someone, himself perhaps, is faced with a serious moral problem." It means if I'm going to do ethics, that's what I ask the reader to, or the reader to begin. Now, ethics certainly is about moral problems and their resolution. If in winter program you're going to be studying peace and justice issues or sexuality issues, you're going to be reading about Central American violence or about the Namibia struggle, or you're going to be looking at healthcare delivery systems or lifestyle matters, or if you're reading some of the case studies in the book that I want some of us to work with anyway, a book on human rights, you'll be doing ethics. It is moral problem solving. Anytime you focus on a social issue or a problem with an eye to what ought to be done, you'll be doing ethics. So quandary ethics is part of ethics.
Is quandary ethics the same as situation ethics?
No, I wanted to use situation ethics as an example
of
ethics as moral problem solving. And it's a particular, it's an example of viewing ethics that way. But there would be other ways of viewing ethics that way, which would not call themselves situation ethics, but would still see ethics as decision-making on moral issues. Situation ethics is a particular method of deciding what ought to be done. It's a particular offered way of decision-making.
Yeah. It's a part of quandary ethics.
What?
Is
it's
a part it, of
yes, it's a part of quandary ethics. It's one example of quandary ethics.
And
yeah.
Is situation ethics different from issue ethics? Did you say issue ethics somewhere along the line?
Yeah. Okay. Issue ethics is a kind of synonym for what has been called quandary ethics. You can just think of it as issue ethics, decision making on moral issues. Yeah. Now, the question I want to raise, and that's a lot of people's notion of ethics. I'll be surprised if you don't have that notion. If you don't, I'm a little concerned, because that certainly is part of ethics. But is ethics only moral resolution? And is the only significant ethical question the question, what ought I or we to do in some particular setting, or what ought I or we to have done if you're looking back at it? Is that the only significant ethical question? If you brought this notion of ethics, namely decision-making on moral problems, to folks who thought they were writing about ethics, like Plato or Aristotle or Hegel or Hume or Augustine or Aquinas, both you and they would have been perplexed. When they were writing about ethics, they didn't have that notion of ethics in mind, and it would take a while to get a conversation started between you and Augustine or you and Aristotle if you think that ethics is quandary ethics. I'm going to illustrate with Aristotle, but I have to start with his teacher, Plato, and I'm going to read a sentence from the Republic. Does the following sound like ethics is quandary ethics? Plato has been speaking about the various aspects of human being, of a human being. He writes, we have to correct the sexist language as best we can. Only when one has linked these parts together, dear, aspects of a human being, in well-tempered harmony, and has made oneself one person instead of many, will that one be ready to go about doing whatever that one may have to do, whether it be making money and satisfying bodily wants, or business transactions, or the affairs of state. In all these fields, when one speaks of just and honorable conduct, one will mean the behavior that helps to produce and preserve this habit of mind, namely the integrated self. When ethics, when Plato was talking about ethics, he was talking about that which preserves, or that which nurtures and preserves, an integration of the self. That's not quandary, ethics.
Read the first part of the quote.
Only when one has linked these parts together, parts of a human being, there are different dimensions of being, in a well-tempered harmony and has made oneself one person instead of many, will one be ready to go about whatever one has to do, whether making money or satisfying bodily wants or the affairs of state. If you're looking for just and honorable conduct, you have to look for what nurtures this integration of self. Or one of the better alums of the forum ours and of the academy, Plato's pupil, Aristotle, understands ethics as a branch of politics. What was politics for Aristotle? Politics was a rather comprehensive science and craft, the comprehensive science and craft of planning and governing human life together so that it could be lived as well as possible. How do you plan and govern society so that human life can be lived as well as possible? That's the art of politics for Aristotle. What is ethics as part of that for Aristotle? It's the fostering of excellent character. Or it's the fostering of certain qualities of character, to use the time-honored coinage in ethics, it's the fostering of virtue. So that you had the agents for planning and governing society for maximum human well-being. So ethics for Plato and Aristotle, Augustine, Aquinas, all kinds of folks, attends to the question of what kind of life to live and the qualities of character that foster that kind of life. The question is not, like in quandary ethics, what ought we to do? The question now is what or who ought we to be? So ethics is the study, Aristotle's book, the Nicomachean Ethics, is the study of the types of persons required for the good society and how you get those types of persons. What kind of moral education is required? What kind of moral training and development is required? What social arrangements and social structures nurture desirable qualities in people? That's what the subject of ethics is about. Who or what ought we to be, and how do you form a society to get that? Those kinds of persons. I'm going to use Fletcher again as an example of not belonging to this. In Situation Ethics, the book by Joseph Fletcher, you get no discussion of moral education, moral development, training for living the good life, the social arrangements or structures that nurture desirable qualities of human beings. Because for Fletcher and others who see ethics only as moral problem solving, the relevance of ethics is the resolution of problematic situations. What then ought we to do about abortion choices now that medical technology can tell us whether the fetus exhibits genetic abnormalities? Is a question that Fletcher's notion of ethics can answer, or try to give a method for answering. But for Aristotle, resolving moral perplexities, hard issues, it must be done, of course, but the chief contribution of ethics, in his understanding, is in nurturing qualified agents to do that deliberation, in fostering the moral sensitivities that will develop proper character and that will characterize society at large. So I have put down here, avoid like the plague reductionism in ethics. Don't think of ethics only as quandary ethics, which answers the question, what ought we to do? Think of ethics also as character ethics, which answers the question, what or who ought we to be?
Larry, I don't even know the word reductionism.
Don't reduce it to that. Don't reduce your notion of ethics.
You have to find a word with its own word.
Don't restrict it. Don't restrict the notion of ethics only to quandary ethics. And
but didn't you do that in making it the character ethics?
Yeah, if you say ethics is only character ethics, then you're also
Guilty. Reducing. So you're not coming down on one or the
don't
other.
That's right. Some people think of ethics only as character ethics. That is, they think of ethics as qualities of character. If one is honest, if one is courageous, if one is humble, and you foster those relationships, then folks may think that's what ethics is about. And I'm saying that's part of what ethics is about. But don't restrict your notion of ethics to that.
Larry, would this misinterpret you if you want to do all kinds of ethics and some people only want to do one kind
of ethics? I want a notion of ethics as comprehensive to take in what all of us are going to be doing.
You want a department store instead of a butcher shop and a supermarket.
Do you cover with those two? Do you cover it? Or is that reductionism to have only those two?
I think that covers covers the scope. The being and doing both belong to the moral life and to ethics. That covers the scope.
And the popular assumption that I bring this morning is ethics is the doing part of that being and doing. Yeah. Yes, I do.
Most people do that. Some people bring only the being part and think that once you foster the right character, everything flows from that automatically, so you don't have to attend to what is a good way to make a decision and are there other things in decision-making that don't come out of character, they come out of the realities of the situation for which you need to attend to on other terms than character, doing your homework on the technical issues and so on. Yeah.
Larry, for example, someone who does just character ethics oftentimes can classify someone as unethical who reaches a problem, say an ethical person would never be in a situation where abortion would be an issue.
That's an expression of
just being rather than doing.
Yeah, what you're hearing is, in camouflaged fashion, is what I'm saying is a reductionist notion of ethics in the first place. And I want to avoid that, like the plague. Right? Maybe the mention of medical technology is suggestive of a helpful analogy here. The ethics as problem-solving people, John said he's one of those, understands the relevance of ethics to be something like curative medicine. What do we do to get over this moral affliction that we find on our hands? Frau Bergmann did get pregnant. She did rejoin her family in Berlin. That was her way of handling that. Whereas the ethics as character formation people understand the relevance of ethics to be like that of preventive medicine. The moral philosopher for Plato and Aristotle prescribes a regimen for the healthy moral life rather than a cure for particular moral illnesses. So ethics is both preventive and curative is what I'm saying. It's both for moral afflictions and it's also about producing a state of moral health. Now, if we stay with what I'm saying is a scope that includes both moral problem solving and character formation, both being and doing, what does that mean for our studies in winter program? It means that if your subject is peace and justice or issues in sexuality, that belongs to ethics. You ought to consider doing work on those subjects as connecting with ethics. Or some other subjects. Maybe you're concerned about the cruise and Pershing missiles and their deployment later this year in Europe. Or maybe you're studying the church's stand on investment or disinvestment of stock and firms doing business in South Africa and Namibia. That all belongs to ethics. But so does parenting for peace and justice. That's also a subject of ethics because it has to do with formation of character of the next generation. That is, it has to do with your answer to the question of what set of moral sensitivities and moral perspective should the coming generation possess, and how do you foster the realization of those. Or let me mention some other subjects for winter program. Character formation as ethics means that a subject such as liturgy and worship in general is a subject for ethics. If you don't think of liturgy and worship in connection with ethics, then I'm saying you've got a restricted notion of what ethics is, and that one goal is to make the connections there. Because that has to do with formation of people's perspectives, shaping of their character, their shaping of their outlook, sensitivity to certain values that are then expressed and hopefully internalized through the worship experience. So group dynamics and communications or journal writing also have to do with the way in which people's character is shaped. So is mental health and wellness, or ethics is about the self and its moral health, and some things such as self-esteem or confidence or a sense of integrity all belong to ethics as character formation. And talking about mental health may well intersect such things as self-esteem or confidence. If you're studying literature or even just casually reading a novel for your pleasure, you will be doing ethics because there are dimensions of the moral life that are always present wherever human beings are present, and are where human beings report in from time to time, as they do in literature. I personally don't even think you can do a craft, weave an inkle or whatever you do, or lap a stone or perform an art, a song or a poem, without the aesthetic experience impinging upon moral sensibilities. If in the quiet contemplation of the awesome skies above Copper Basin you are in any way affected, it is your character that will be affected. It's maybe some quality, like a feel for mystery in a moment of contemplation, or maybe gratitude for creation. Maybe sheer thankfulness for being alive at all. All of those are in part moral sensitivities. If I have a reverence for life that comes from the quiet times out on the trail, that is nurtured by them, that reverence for life is a moral reality. Or one can look at the awesome skies at night above Copper Basin and have a very different moral reality present. It might be a negative one. It might be a sense of being nothing in the midst of unending emptiness. And then one's character is formed in a different way thereby. But I want you to see liturgy, literature, communications, prayer, all manner of things which you study as relating to or where ethics can be an integrating part. So when people ask me, what should I read to get started in Christian ethics? And I say, oh, it doesn't really matter. Niebuhr's Moral Man and Immoral Society or Grimm's Fairy Tales or the parables of Jesus, or today's paper, or the Brothers Karamazov, or The Color Purple, or the latest issue of Liturgy, or Boy's Life, or Playgirl. It's all relevant for Christian ethics. Do you understand now why I say that, and why also they're perplexed? I hope it's clear. The last thing I want us to do is choose between A or B. Ethics as problem solving and ethics as character formation. That's the last thing I want us to do. That's what I want to avoid from today onward. Ethics is not either doing or being, conduct or character. Ethics is both doing and being, human conduct and human character. Ethics is not either deciding what is right, where the focus is on correct action, or deciding what is good, what is the good person, or what is the good society. Ethics is both attention to the right and to the good. And if in the course of the term you do not see your chosen subjects possessing moral dimensions and relating to our study of ethics together, then I want to talk with you, because the lack of integration is then either lack of communication from my side, or else it's a reduced notion of ethics from your side. Vern?
I hear you sometimes identifying ethics with the moral dimension.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Which is omnipresent. And sometimes identifying ethics with reflection.
Yeah. Thank you for the clarification. I mean ethics to be the latter. The moral dimensions of life is the subject for ethics as a reflective enterprise.
Because I can read literature without paying attention to the moral dimension.
Yeah. And
give the distinction again in which one you're...
The moral life, or the moral dimensions of human life, which I say permeate all of our life, is the subject for ethics, which is our study of the moral life. Yeah. Ethics is the reflective enterprise. The moral life is the lived one, the immediate one. Okay, what I've said thus far is reduced notions of ethics with respect to the scope of ethics, or the range, what it takes in. But people also have reduced notions of ethics in other ways. And one of those is to see a certain content as belonging to ethics. Usually they mean a certain fixed or enduring or even eternal content. I worked in the juvenile detention center for 3 years in Minneapolis. I had a colleague there. We had all sorts of discussions about all sorts of things, often about ethics. He never once swayed from the notion that Christian ethics was essentially the golden rule. And for him, that incidentally was a kind of higher morality than what he thought was essential, the essential requirement for society, which he called the silver rule, the golden rule, you know. The silver rule was, don't do to others what you wouldn't have them do to you. He thought that was the content of essential morality for society, and Christian ethics was one step above, and one became a kind of active, good person, and called the golden rule. So that ethics for him was a particular stipulated moral guideline for living together. And for a lot of people, that's what they mean by ethics, a particular stipulated moral guideline, a fixed content that you need to carry on together. Now, that stipulated moral guideline may take expressions in thousands of ways, but you can know the essence and you can state it. In Christian ethics, as an example, and I'll stick with Joseph Fletcher just for consistency of illustration, agapeic or self-giving, self-sacrificial love is the essence of the Christian ethic. If someone asks, what is Christian ethics, then Fletcher and many other people have said, Christian ethics is self-giving, self-sacrificial love. That is the content of it. Jesus is usually seen as a revelation of the very being of God and the example for us of precisely that agapeic love. You may have to relate lots of other moral realities to that fixed content, like justice, but the essence is a single reality. If that is your notion, then Christian ethics is probably an answer to the question, what does Christ-like love require me or us to be and to do? I use that example of love because of its common currency in Christian ethics. And I use the Golden Rule as one illustration. In fact, when I teach in parishes and ask people what Christian ethics is, the most frequent reply I get is either Jesus' summary of his own moral legacy, namely the double command to love God and neighbor as self. Lots of people identify that as the Christian ethic. Or else it's the Ten Commandments. That one comes up about as frequently. When you ask, what is Christian ethics, you get the Ten Commandments. Occasionally someone adds the Sermon on the Mount. But in all cases, it's a stipulated moral content that is what is understood as ethics. And then that fixed moral content is the norm or the standard for all settings and all circumstances, even though how it's lived out will undoubtedly take a variety of expressive forms. So that's another way. I just want, at least for the sake of winter program, for you to be open to the fact that there may not be a fixed moral content for a Christian ethic. Now that situation ethics, I mean, a la Fletcher, says that the Christian ethic is self-giving love. It provides a method for deciding what you ought to do in the face of a variety of situations.
I thought you were saying that we shouldn't live with the idea that ethics is one set notion.
Yeah. I want, for the sake of winter program, to at least have folks be open to the possibilities of a variety of much content and not decide at the very outset that a Christian ethic or any ethic is a particular set content. Later on, we may come back and you may decide that a Christian ethic does have a fixed content. Maybe you'll say it's a pacifist way, lived in community, following Jesus as example and Lord. Maybe that's what you'll say the Christian ethic is about. I'm just making a plea that we not restrict our notions of ethics by content at the outset.
Larry, are you again being against a reduction to a particular content? Or are you suggesting that Christian ethics can be sort of, can have no set content? Are you saying there oughtn't to be one set of content, or are you saying even content is... But you can have an attitude, for example, and no rules, and that's Christian ethics. You can be open to life and love God and do what you please. Is that ethics?
Well, what I want to do is allow for the that possibility. I want people to open up virtually unlimited possibilities about the content of an ethic. I am not wanting to rail against what people sometimes have decided is, for example, self-giving love. I want people to open up to the possibility it may be other than that.
So in the study of ethics, you want to look at a number of alternative contexts.
Yeah. Yeah. Marilyn?
As the topic was playfully introduced this morning, it was ethics as an integration of knowledge. And then you moved almost immediately into the specific of Christian ethics.
Yeah.
So how do you perceive, I mean, it seems like we're making a choice of within a certain tradition, we're going to be reflecting upon ethics within the Christian tradition. Is that an kind of accurate to what you're hoping to do? Because that, I see some distinctions. Not that they'd have to be exclusive, ethics as kind of ethics as an integration of knowledge or ethics as a process. But Christian ethics immediately already arouses all sorts of associations we all have with what the Christian ethics are.
I'm glad you posted the question. Can we postpone the holy smokes. Is that it? Do I get to finish the sentence? I hope to address that in the second thing down there. If it isn't satisfactorily addressed, bring it up again at that point. Rick?
One of the questions is, as far as your content for fixed moral conduct, that could be applied, incorrectly applied, to either character ethics or conduct ethics, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm just saying another way that people have what I think is unnecessarily, for our purposes, restricted notion of ethics is in terms of conduct. But it can go any place in terms of the scope. Yeah, you're right. Sometimes people have notions of ethics which have to do with the form. It isn't a specified content, but it has to do with the form of an ethic. Incidentally, Marilyn, in partial response to your question, what I've said so far, I mean to pertain to all kinds of ethics, Christian or not, even though my examples have been from Christian ethics. For example, one of the important contributions in ethics has been that associated with Immanuel Kant, and the formulation of what's sometimes called the categorical imperative, which is stated in various ways, but it goes something like this. Always act in such a way that your action can be the action of all persons in the same or similar circumstances. So as you contemplate what you are to do, you ask, can I affirm this as the action of anyone in my circumstances, or everyone in my circumstances? And Kant would say, that's how you go about deciding what an adequate ethic is. Is your action, contemplated action, universalizable or generalizable? Otherwise, you're probably saying that you're permitted morally to do something which you don't want other people in the same or similar circumstances to do. So for an adequate ethic, you follow a particular form.
You go with that?
Do I go with universalizability as a criterion for a good ethic? Yes, but there are some important exceptions to that, and they have to do with character, because people vary a great deal from one to another, and if you only have the criterion of what is generalizable, you may not be allowing for those differences of character. That entails a long discussion, Mary.
by having a
That's right. I don't. If you identify an ethic with a particular form of the ethic, I want you to hold that in abeyance, or at least put it up for discussion. Working from tradition as a strong moral guide, I always do that which has been tried and tested in the past, unless there's an overwhelming case not to proceed in that way. In other words, how ought I to make a decision about what I am to be or do? I go with that which has been regarded as the wisdom of the ages. That tells me. That doesn't specify the content yet, but it's a form for deciding what an adequate ethic is.
I guess that would raise my question. Which would the Torah, the law, be, content or point? That it was revealed, that I'm part of a people that has it revealed. Is that form or content?
Well, wouldn't that be form that brings you into the content?
Well, there's both there. I mean, depending on how you use Torah Torah certainly is content, and it places you someplace. But it may also enter into the form of an ethic, how you use appropriate Torah.
I guess I still don't. Okay.
Torah, in some sense, is moral direction, not reflection.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is ethics not direction?
Mm-hmm.
Is it always reflection?
Well, yeah. Doing it, reflection would be the being.
If to use our distinctions earlier, the moral life and ethics moral life is a subject for ethics, I will also want to say that reflection that you engage in for the moral life. It's just fair to you that I sort of tell you where my disagreements are and why I'm asking you not to hold the notion of ethics at the outset, which reduces it in terms of scope, content, and form. Part of that's a utilitarian purpose. I think that leaves us open to ethics as an integrating subject. That is, you're just open to making connections that you may not have made. You may not have brought liturgy and ethics together unless we talked about such reductions. But it also betrays my own notion of ethics, and I do think that the moral life, including the Christian moral life, is of sufficient richness and of sufficient complexity that a reductionism of scope and content and form will almost always go wrong, that it is not fair to the moral life and to the moral dimensions of human existence itself. It always leaves out something of significance. So that's my conviction there. Even to go the way of an Augustine and elaborate all of the virtues as forms of love, I mean, that's what Augustine does in his Christian ethic, profound as it is, still runs the unnecessary risk, in my judgment, that by specifying everything, all of the virtues as forms of love, you have, I think, placed something upon the moral life that leaves out a great deal. It's a little like understanding all astronomy as variations on twinkle, twinkle, little star. I mean, it is about twinkle, twinkle, little star, but it's a bit simplistic. But there's another reason why I want us to not engage in reduced notions of ethics And that is the nature and the limits of human language. That's a topic that I'm not going to take up now, but I'm only going to postpone it until Wednesday night and do a session on metaphor, which has to do with the classic issue in ethics about how we know anything about the moral life. And I think most formulations in ethics, whether of content or form or of scope, have to participate in the limits of language. So I'm suspicious about very fixed notions. And that will come a little clearer, I think, when we talk about language. So, don't be reductionist about scope, content, or form, or ethics as an integrating subject just won't serve you very well. If you're reductionist, you'll think that group dynamics and depression in women, one of Billy's topics, are psychology, but they're not also ethics. You'll think that Kiss Sleeping Beauty Goodbye is about social sex roles and maybe literary analysis, but it's not also about ethics. You'll think that Thomas Merton and Orders are about Christian community and contemplation, but not about Christian ethics. You'll think that Ephesians and the Synoptic Gospels is Bible study, but not also ethics. You'll think that food is about nutrition, but not also ethics. And that's what I want to avoid, is that kind of thinking. And then when December 16th rolls around, if you start with a reductionist notion, then you will know lots about psychology, literature, sex, community, prayer, Bible, and food, but without their integration around an understanding of the moral life. Two more things to say, and then it's lunchtime, I guess. In the study of ethics, ethics is the noun and Christian is the adjective. Christian modifies ethics, but the subject is ethics. That doesn't mean that the noun is more important than the adjective. It means that one modifies the other, but that the other is real, whatever the modifier. So Muslim ethics and Christian ethics and Buddhist ethics and Jewish ethics and secular humanist ethics are all ethics, and they share a common set of identifying features, and that's what I want to look at. It doesn't mean the modifier is insignificant. If I say she is alive instead of she is dead, that's a significant difference for she. So, yeah. But it is the common characters of, I mean, the common features of ethics as ethics that I'm going to focus on. And I underscore this because so often people reach almost immediately for the distinctiveness of a Christian ethic without knowing, first of all, what an ethic is. What you usually get is covered over triumphalist assertion that you possess a distinctive something or other without really identifying the something or other very clearly. It's not unlike saying the Bible is the Word of God without ever asking what a sacred scripture is, whether it's held by a Muslim, a Christian, or a Jew. Christian is the modifier, not the noun, just as it's a modifier in the Christian life. And that leads to the second and the last comment. My concentration from my side for these 10 sessions in Christian ethics will be on the elements of a Christian ethic and the formulation of it. To employ a machine metaphor, I'm going to be asking, what are the different working parts of a Christian ethic, and how do they fit together to formulate a Christian ethic? In doing so, I've always got to be working with three matters of content and form, and including scope. I'm going to be looking at the moral life in general as a common human reality, something we all share, whatever religious convictions and attachments we have, and where ethics is the noun. The moral life in general as a human reality. I'm also going to be looking at elements and enduring issues for a Christian ethic in particular. And then thirdly, within the range of possibilities for a Christian ethics, I will share with you a statement of my own preference and the reasons for that. So if there are these enduring elements and options within a Christian ethics, you still need to make some decisions of which will the real Christian ethic for you please stand up, kind of thing. And I want to do that. So do you see something in the scope, the moral life in general, the elements of a Christian ethics, and a statement of a preference within the possibilities of a Christian ethic? And I'm going to begin with a basic question, not today, obviously, but for the next couple of times. When we think about the Christian, when we think about the moral life, Christian or otherwise, what do we think with, and how do we think? When you think about the moral life, what do you think with, and how do you think? What language shall we borrow, to use a metaphor, to think about the good and the right? What language shall we borrow to think about character and conduct? I think some clues are in language itself and how we use it, and thus the upcoming sessions, first sessions, are on metaphor, though the issue is how do we know in matters of morality. That's just a sneak preview. It's not the subject at hand. The subject at hand is ethics as a potential integrating subject for winter program. Will it work or won't it work for that? And I just thought it necessary to say a little bit about what ethics is and is not, and open up some possibilities. Let me finish with a quotation from Bonhoeffer's Ethics.
This time you talk about on the range, you give it like an introduction statement of the parts of a machine.
I said just to use a machine metaphor, I'm asking what are the different elements or parts of Christian ethics and how do they fit together. No, it's really B.
I heard you say some things about what kinds of Christian ethics concerned you and what kinds of strategies for ethics you did not regard as fully reflective. I did not hear you say anything about what is not ethics.
Say anything about what is not?
Ethics.
Ethics?
Yeah. Is there anything that ethics does not integrate?
Oh. That's correct. I have concentrated on different aspects of what I think ethics is.
Is there anything else in your universe besides ethics?
Yeah, much. Much.
What?
Aesthetic experience is different from moral experience, as one example. And I don't want you reading those books and literature only with an eye to what is there said about the moral life and then reflection upon that. There's much more there than that. But I don't want you reading that literature without making connections.
What other
to
kinds
ethics.
Of experiences there besides aesthetic?
The subject a couple sessions hence is the relationship of religion and morality. I think there are dimensions of religious life which are not, which are non-moral, not immoral, which are non-moral. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's much else. If you're doing group dynamics, if we're doing that session there that was going on the first half of the morning, there was much there that was non-moral. But there are also some dimensions of the moral life involved. Yeah. Okay. For the time being, anyway. Let me just finish with a statement from Bonhoeffer's Ethics, page 269, if you want to check it out later. What then, in view of all this, his preceding discussion, is an ethic, which by definition makes a theme of the ethical, and what is an ethicist? We can begin more easily by saying what, in any case, an ethic and an ethicist cannot be. An ethic cannot be a book in which there is set out how everything in the world actually ought to be, but unfortunately is not. And an ethicist cannot be one who always knows better than others what is to be done and how it is to be done. An ethic cannot be a work of reference for moral action, which is guaranteed to be unexceptionable. And the ethicist cannot be the competent critic and judge of every human activity. An ethic cannot be a retort in which ethical or Christian human beings are produced, and the ethicist cannot be the embodiment or ideal type of a life which is on principle moral. Ethics and ethicists do not intervene continuously in life. They draw attention to the interruption and disturbance of life by the shall and the should and the ought, which impinge on all of life. Ethics and ethicists do not wish to represent goodness as such, that is to say, as some end in itself, but precisely by speaking strictly from the standpoint of the ethical, from the standpoint of the peripheral event of the ought and the shall and the should, they wish to help people to learn to share in life, to share in life within the limits of obligation, of shall and should, and not to let people hold themselves aloof from the processes of life as if they were only spectators, critics, or judges. To share in life, not out of the motive of shall and should, but from the full abundance of vital motives, from the natural and the organic, from free acceptance and will, not in humorless hostility toward every vital force and towards every weakness and disorder. They would help them, ethics and ethicists would help them learn to join in life. That's not a summary of everything, but it does, I think, bring together some things. To share in the richness of the moral dimensions of human existence. I don't know if we've got, have we got a moment just to ask whether what you see as whether ethics will work or won't work as an integrating subject. Also, Marilyn, whether your question got addressed.
Your description of the three focuses that you take answer
the
question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whether I agree or not.
Yeah. No, well, I don't know about that yet.
Do you need to have an adjective for ethics?
As a... I think not. Yeah, I think you have to have... I think you will have an adjective. I do think you can do a lot of ethics as an academic, reflective enterprise. Without paying a lot of attention to a particular point of view. I think there are some skills in reflecting on the moral life which are can be acquired apart from joining a particular point of view, but I think, in fact, everybody does bring. Meta-ethics usually means talking about the terms are we disbanding, I gather?
Disbanding.
Yeah.